tonight, Sunday morning, 6/2/24. Prophet's Corner Uncut. We're going to look at the Jezebel spirit this morning. We want to know why our nation's in the shape it is in. Well, we got a spirit to blame. It's the Jezebel spirit. We're going to have a... This is just kind of what's going on in the nation. And then the teaching's going to be uplifting. All right. The fact, Jack. We're going to look at the facts. In the scriptures, Jezebel was an actual woman, and she was also the child of the devil. And we've seen this spirit of Jezebel manifested throughout the Bible, from Old Testament to present day. We have seen this spirit manifest. Even Jesus called it out in the church. All right. William Brannan saw a woman in purple in the White House. A lot of people thought it was a woman president, but I don't believe so. It's the Jezebel spirit. The Illuminati is known for wearing purple. And so she's also the one that rides on the back of the beast in Revelation. Alright. It's the Jezebel spirit. Alright. It could possibly be a representative of the queen, because the purple is royalty, the color of royalty. And she has had dominion over pretty well all the nations of the world, the queen. And now Charles, which I think he's already gone bye-bye also. All right. This has happened under the Crown Corporation since 1871. We went under this woman in purple. I don't think he knew what he was seeing. I don't think anybody who's tried to interpret this has gotten it right, because we didn't know what we know now. Future proves past. So what we know now, we know. It wasn't Hillary Clinton in the White House. No, it was the Jezebel spirit. I mean, just think about what they were doing underground, under the White House, under the Capitol, under probably every building in D.C. It's one big demonic, whatever you want to call it, shrine. It's the Freemason. It's laid out by Freemasonry. I mean, every square inch, everything there. Yesterday I heard somebody talk about the Statue of Liberty and the truth about the Statue of Liberty. If you look at it, really, it's a woman, man posing as a woman, and that you can see around the ankles of the statue that it's chained. The legs have the things around it and the chains to the platform. So all the migrants that come into this nation, it's like a mockery saying, yeah, come on in to this bondage that you're under. The real Statue of Liberty, from what I understand, is on Liberty Island, not Ellis Island. So, you know, think, well, it's everywhere, Lord, isn't it? We just didn't see it. We couldn't see the forest for the trees because we grew up in it. It's kind of like in Daniel's day. They'd been in exile for 70 years. People lived their whole life in Babylon and never came out of it. That spirit's at work. All right, we're going to go to 1 Kings right quick. This is 1 Kings chapter 11. Starting with verse 1 there. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Think about the woman. Solomon clave unto these in love. Now this is a man, richest probably man in the Bible, maybe Job, maybe. But anyway, And all that God gave him and all God promised him, strange women caused him to begin to worship that Jezebel spirit. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in that hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, here's the baby-killing one, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And people ask, why would God bless America? It's his church he can bless if they're right. And had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant, notwithstanding. In thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. I think his son only lived a couple of years. He was worse than his father. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. All it did was cause division. Look at this nation. We're not one nation under God. We're a divided nation, even today. See, this is going to have to change. That's what a lot of people have been trying to get the church's attention for a long time. And they said, oh, that's old covenant. We don't want to hear that. But see, what people don't understand, they separate the two. They all belong together. This is our history. This is where we come from. And this over and over and over and over again. The same old spirit. There's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes says. Nothing new. The same spirit. All right. This has been the downfall of America. It was going on and we didn't know it because it was being done in secret. That's why there's so many places in America that will have to be destroyed because of what went on underneath. Even all the raining that's going on, it's because they're flooding the dumps. They have to. They cannot use the oceans because they're all so vast. They're all so vast that it would disrupt normal sea life and all of these things, because they considered to do what happened in the days of Noah. It was so bad. So what are they doing? They're using the weather warfare, and it's the white hats, and they're causing it to rain. So that's why it's moving in different sectors. That's why Houston had all their flooding. Then the Dallas area had all their flooding. They tried to do it to us the other day. And afterward, I told Danny, see that big cloud over there? I bet that's that control center right in that cloud. I just had that inkling. They're probably going, who did that? Mm-hmm. We did it! The church! You take that garbage and you go somewhere else that doesn't believe in you, and you can go ahead and do what you want to do, but you ain't doing it here. I don't care, white hat, black hat, red hat. Not on our watch and not on our property, okay? All right, let me get back on track. Part of President Trump's compilation tour was taking back the USA from this reign of terror. He didn't come into this not knowing what he was doing. He was fully informed, just like our leaders are. We need to trust them. But they need to realize this is God's plan, and don't you think for a minute that you're going to step outside of his plan, because this is God's plan. God is doing this reset. God is taking out the evil. We cannot exist together. And that's the sad part. We cannot exist together. They have to die. I'm sorry. They have to be exterminated. And I'm not talking about poor misguided souls. I'm talking about this resident evil, this generational evil, that have already sold their soul to the devil. And most of them are not human anyway. They're part something and maybe part human. What do you think went on in the days of Genesis there, in the days before the flood? If you read Enoch, it tells plainly, and you can even read the book of Jasher and see, they saw satyrs, that's half man, half beast. So they've been messing with genetics all along. Now you see why they can't. It's either them or us. All right. We've been living under this influence of this spirit all of our lives and didn't even know it. I mean, we didn't know that this is the prison nation. We didn't know that. And the immigrants coming in didn't know that either. Go do a study on the Statue of Liberty and have a good look at it. I have seen some of the pictures of it. All right. All through the Old Testament, you can see this influence in operation. The first mention of Jezebel is in 1 Kings. Let's go look to chapter 16. Wasn't apostles in those days, but the prophets. All right. We're going to just look a few verses there, starting with verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Here we get back to killing the babies. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab had a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that went before him. This was the history of the kings. I think that was one reason that God didn't want Israel to have a king. And they wanted a king, and they kept crying out for a king, so gave him Saul. But then David was a man after his own heart, and look what he did for Solomon, and Solomon turned his back on him too. All the wisdom he gave him, all the riches he gave him, 1,000 wives. Oh, God. All the gold, the silver, the stables, the horses, the staff, the servants, nothing ever probably like it ever on earth. Since that time. But he turned his back on God. Jezebel. All right. God's sanction process begins. This is what President Trump did when he walked into office. He began to put sanctions on China and different countries, Mexico. He tells over and over at the recent rallies about in Mexico, you know, where you're going to give us however many thousand soldiers on the wall. No, we cannot do this. Donald, we cannot do this. He said, you will do this. No, we will not do this. He said, okay, starting Monday morning, first thing, we're going to put a 100% tariff on everything, every car you're sending in here. to Mexico. See, what they thought they would do, what the devil thought he would do, is take all our manufacturing out of the U.S. And now they think that they'll make it in the U.S. and they'll bring it in. They won't have to pay a tariff. Gouging us both ways. What happened? He said, let me make a phone call. He said, 3 minutes, he's back. Donald, we'd be happy to supply you 25,000 soldiers for the wall. These are the sanctions I'm talking about. As he's elected again and he goes into office again, there will be a reciprocal tariff on every product that comes into the U.S. And if they charge us 100%, we charge them 100%. If they charge 200%, he charges 200%. You get where I'm coming from? It's going to be a wash. It's not going to be allowed to happen anymore. All right. God has been putting his sanctions on the world system since it began. All right. God had President Trump go on his tour loaded with incriminating evidence against all these countries. He levied heavy taxes on others. What is this about? They are God's sanctions, much like Pharaoh in Egypt. If you don't let my people go, then water is turning to blood. Here come the frogs. I was reading in Jasher. It said when they perspired, it brought forth a frog. When they perspired, they sweat, it brought forth a frog. I mean, you talk about it in your face. Frogs, 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 frogs. I'm thinking, wow. Talk about absolute misery. And there were some other things. And go read it again, the book of Jasher. I just read it. You talk about some heavy sanctions. Frogs in your bed, frogs in your oven, frogs in your bread. Whatever you do, if you sweat, there's more frogs. God's sanctions. That's what all the plagues of Egypt were about. They were God's sanctions. And what's happened to the president? They think they've done it. They've finally stuck the dagger in and he's going to finally die. But no, what they don't know is every crime by every president, every official can now be legally prosecuted because of what they've done to Donald Trump. This is God's plan and God's man. They can't beat it. They're going down. And we're watching it play out right before us. In fact, it's probably already happened, and we're just watching them play the movie out now. That's why they're saying, don't be sad about this. Be glad. Finally, something's happening. Things are moving along. It encourages me. All right. God's sanctions, 1 Kings 17. Starting with verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew for, nor rain these years, but according to my word. Sanctions. No rain. What does that mean? No crops. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Have we suffered under these sanctions too? Yes. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So God took care of his people, didn't he? Even when the sanctions were applied. Same thing happened in Egypt. You know, when all the stuff was going down in Goshen, they had the lights on, and when they were going through dark. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call me my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up unto a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Did I miss a part? No, I guess not. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow which whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. All right, let's keep going. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. I guess the 3.5 years is up, huh? And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water and all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. So right here, they had to scour the land to find any water possible just to save the animals. Their only hope to have a crop. All right. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, rather my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it came to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Blaming it all on him. Who are they blaming, Trump? Who's blaming Trump? They're all blaming Trump. No, the blame is on you. You're wicked. It's your wickedness that got this sanction on you. It's your wickedness that caused your land to be dry. It's your wickedness that caused you to not have any crops and have no food. And the lakes and the rivers dried up. You have no water. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, in the province of Baal 450, in the province of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, there's a line in the sand, just like Moses. If you're from the Lord, come over here, you know? A line in the sand is right now happening in this nation. Which side are you on? If you be for Baal, then get over there. If you be for the Lord, come over here. That's what he's saying. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let me get a Kleenex. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Are we going to have a showdown between the Baal worshipers? Hillary Clinton was high priestess to Baal. They've got Baal's arches all over this country. What do those archways do? They're a portal. Allows evil into the land. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. There's one translation that says he might be in the bathroom. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. All their blood sacrifices. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Now, there hadn't been no rain. Can you imagine how long it took to do this, to build this big trench around this big altar? And there was no water. And he put the wood in order and cut the book in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. They're under water sanctions here. They barely have enough to save the animals, remember? And they did it the second time, and he said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. The water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. What is that? Repentance. And Elijah said unto him, take the prophets of Baal, let no one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. That's what we're watching play out. Now that the prophets of Baal have been slain, what will happen? Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing, and said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So this is what's going to happen in our nation because of these sanctions that have been applied, because of the things that President Trump has done, the compilation tour. When Baal is cleansed from our land, then we will have prosperity. Repentance comes to our land. The prophets of Baal have been annihilated. It's happened in the Bible over and over and over again. The days of Noah, coming out of Egypt, it's happening again. Someone wonder, you want to give somebody a biblical account? Well, show me in the scriptures where that happened. All right, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I come and heal their land, basically is what it says. In our day, it's no different because we're more sophisticated, maybe. We got more inventions. But it isn't any different today than it was then. The same old Baal worship has been going on. It's rained for a long time. We just didn't know it. All right. After the cleaning up process came the rain. What are they doing? They're using weather warfare to cleanse the land. This rain is beginning again. It'll cause the prosperity of the land to come. All right. I want to read last week's prophetic word. Called a new beginning. This is 5/19/24. A new beginning is on the horizon. It's even at the door. A time of great wealth is coming. A time that your eyes have never beheld before. All restraining forces will be removed, and my people will again be supplied. Poverty and lack do not come from me, but from the enemy. It's because they serve Baal. Steal, kill, and destroy is his objective, and that is coming to an end. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. To have provision is to have my vision that is free from care and worry that leads to sickness, disease, and death. I came that you might have life and it abundantly. Part of that is abundant provision. My will is heaven in earth, not just heaven in heaven. You will find out just how great life can be when there is no longer lack, poverty, and death. My people will be able to become all that I have called them to be, free from care and fear. Love will be the banner, and there will be no more war, heaven and earth. Wealth is just a tool to bless. Now, Nasara and Jasara says there can be no war. It can be, everyone has to disarm. That's scriptural. Isaiah. I'm not opposed to my children having wealth. I'm opposed to wealth having them. Like the rich young ruler, like the man that was only concerned for his future, not rich toward God. Serving the almighty dollar has brought your nation and world to this place. This is how it has been from the very beginning. My church will once again learn to possess all that I've given to them. They will learn my ways. They will learn how to be wealthy and godly. They will learn to live in the blessing and not the curse. They will live heaven and earth. Cast your bread on the water, and it will come back in on every wave. The devourer has been rebuked. The heavens opened, just like in the days of the great flood. But now it will be a flood of blessing that cannot be contained. The government will no longer be on the shoulders of the evil one. It was never meant to be that way, for it was stolen from my people, my church. My church will finally rule and reign as I have ordained them to do. My kingdom come, my will be done in the government as it is in heaven. The government will be on my shoulders of my church. The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever. Nothing can stop what is coming. The kingdom of God is advancing forward. It is the mightiest force in the earth, and it will establish the kingdoms of this world. The mountain of the Lord will fill the earth. There will be nothing that harms or hurts in all my holy mountain. My kingdom come. My will be done in earth as in heaven. My body will be violent against darkness. They will take it out violently in my name. Just like the children of Israel moved across their promised land like a swarm of locusts and conquered it, so will my body do so. This will be strong and united and take the land. My church will once again be aggressive instead of passive and taking the whole land. They will not faint, will not fear, but will advance forward and conquer. These are the Joshuas and Calebs of this day. All right, let's keep going here. All right, after the cleaning up process came the rain. The rain was the beginning of the land's prosperity. Remember last, I read the prophetic word to you. Okay, chapter 21. We're going to see the spirit of Jezebel right here in action. And you can see it in our nation in all these years. We've been under the, whatever you call it, the corporation. What the corporation was meant to do. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, Lord, forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came to his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said unto me, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it is written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Does this sound familiar? They've been trying to take, Fed has come in and tried to take as much farmland as they can from the people. That's what I forget what they call it. What's their names? All that was about. One of them even went to prison. The Bundys. Here they couldn't even farm their land or run their cattle through their land. The Fed said, no, this is our land. I don't know how many they killed. Probably the Waco thing was something to do with something like that too. This kind of stuff's been going on all over our country, has been going on all over the world. It's called scorched earth. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, rather he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy prosperity, will cut off from Ahab, him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. Him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring this evil in his days, but in his son's days, and I will bring the evil upon his house. So he humbled himself, and God gave him a reprieve. But isn't this what's been going on in our nation? We don't even know of the injustices that have happened. People being their houses taken away, and things that were improper and unlawful. Here's the real history of the world disclosed. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Genocide and the Georgia Guidestones. Jesus talked to John about this Jezebel spirit in his exhortation to the seven churches in Asia. This is Revelation 2:20. He's speaking to the churches to get Jezebel out of the church. If you think it isn't in the church, think again. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I put here children, question mark. Jezebel, it's a synonym for a false teacher. That's what her name means. What else is false? Anything that's out of God's divine order, that's false. Anybody teaching anything outside of God's divine order, like homosexual marriage, transgenderism, yeah. Ecclesiastes 1:9, nothing new under the sun. If you think this is a new thing, no, it's been going on. Someone asks you, and you say, you might want to go read your Bible. Start over there in Genesis. That's where it all began. Absolutely. All right. Pete and repeat. That's what we've been going through. Pete and repeat. All right. Romans chapter 1. I remember years ago when I was still at Trinkets and Treasures, this lady comes in, and I think she had a son that was a homosexual, and she said, they tell me it's not in the Bible. And I said, I can tell you it is in the Bible. I said, go look up Romans chapter 1. When they throw that in your face, you say, oh, no, no, we're not talking old. We're talking new. Romans chapter 1. Starting with 16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. They know it's wrong. Everything in their being and how they act, they know it's wrong. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Go tell them, go read Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, then see what happened in chapter 3. Someone wants to argue with you, go tell them to argue with God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You know, Baal, it's a goat, Baphomet, transgender. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They're proud. I watched this. It was on a college campus. Not a bad-looking guy, but dressed up as a woman, had a midriff top on, a little skirt on, blonde hair, breast. Comes out of a women's bathroom, and I don't know if it was a teacher or a dean or whatever, confronted him saying, a woman, what are you doing in there? Well, I won't say the word he said. We'll go into the bathroom. She said, don't you think women have any rights? Don't you think women should have some privacy, something of their own? He would not talk to her. He walked out like proud and lofty thing, exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I said, Lord, knock him off his donkey. Because he's acting like an ASS. Or knock him on his donkey. Yeah. All right, let me pick up where I left off. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Those two transgenders in the hospital with the newborn babies. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women had changed the natural use into that which is against nature. Really, throughout the Bible, it wasn't the women that were the sodomites. It was always men. But even the women have exchanged their natural affection. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. It's just sickening and gross is what it is. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So the people that support them, God sees it, they might as well be doing it. That'd be the whole left, wouldn't it? The whole left. Okay. We're going to look at a few more scriptures and we'll be done. This is in first, let's go to Deuteronomy. I'm going to show you where sodomites mentioned in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 23. What they did. They had to cleanse the land. 23:17. I'm not advocating killing anybody. Today we can lead them to the Lord and they can find repentance. This is Deuteronomy 23:17-18. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, or the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord thy God, for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord. My God. Yeah. 1 Kings 14. I'm telling you, you're going to find, if you haven't read the Old Covenant in a while, you might want to read it, because you see a thread running from Genesis all the way to Revelation, talking about Jezebel and Revelation. It's raised its ugly head all through the scripture. It's taken down nations. Just like it tried to take down ours. 14, 1 Kings 14. I'll start with 22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. 15:12, and they took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. That was Jeroboam, king of Israel. All right. 1 Kings 22:46. Seemed like when they started following the kings and they quit following the Lord, had to have a king, that's when they got back into this trouble. 22:46. And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. I'm telling you, it's like gangrene. Right here. In the Hebrew, this is a Sodomite, a male devotee by prostitution to licentious idolatry and unclean. It's unclean. All right, Genesis 7, 11 and 12. This is what was happening in Genesis 6. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. They're following God's principle, what they're doing today. All right. Like I said, they wanted to use the oceans, but they were just so many and so vast, and they didn't have enough water to do it all. All right. The thief does what? He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. All right. We're going to read a few more. This won't be long. 2 Corinthians 11:26. I told you here what the Hebrew word, where did I read that? Oh, Jezebel means false teacher. Paul warned them, 2 Corinthians 11:26 here, one in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Yeah. All right, Acts chapter 13. Start with verse 6 there. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The prophets and apostles are coming back just in time, aren't they? All right. All right, Galatians 2:4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Thank God. All right. Go back to 2 Corinthians where I had you. This is chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're not going to get away with it, none of them. All right, 2 Peter 2. All right. Start with verse 1 there. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Can you imagine back before President Trump came into office, and really even during his 4 years, all this stuff happened with trying to infiltrate the children with the transgender, all that? Wasn't even imaginable at that time. Never heard of. Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Christians are the butt end of humanity as far as the world is concerned. And through covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. You know what? I'm thinking, how can they not know, the ones that do these things, what's happened in the past and what their fate's going to be if they continue in the present course? And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness. That's part of what sodomy is. It's called unclean. And despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They're very boastful and proud. We know somebody else that's boastful and proud, the devil himself. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understood not, stand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of their unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Woo! Son of Bozar, who loved the wages of righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from their holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Oh, Lord, help us. All right, Jesus warned us back over here in chapter 7 of Matthew. He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." False prophets. Matthew 24. Verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." You know, he said he's going to gather out of his kingdom everything that offends. "And many false prophets shall rise and fall and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Okay. Revelation 16. Nearly done. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather men to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." Then Revelation 19:20. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." All right, we're going to read you something right quick. It's called from, this is from Aligned Truth. I've seen some other things like this, and I wish I'd copied those off, but this is about, you know, the different things like in Colorado, they found all the Egyptian hieroglyphics and all those, and all this is underground, all this stuff like an Egyptian civilization was in Colorado. And they talked about the Lexeter there in Las Vegas. It is a shrine. I saw the video and it's massive, and it's no surprise to me that it's really a worship, they probably worship there, the devil. All right, it says here, Rome, Maryland, was the original name of a community within Prince George's County, Maryland, which would eventually become Washington District of Columbia. Specifically, Rome was the original community name of Capitol Hill, upon which United States Capitol Building sits. In 1663, the property that would become the Capitol site was inscribed in the Maryland property records as Rome. Its owner, a man named Francis Pope. The southern boundary of this property was shaped by a river named for the river that runs through Rome, Italy, the Tiber. Francis Pope's nickname was Pope of Rome on the Tiber. So, you know what? They've tried to hide it all from us. It's all coming out. All right. Thought that was interesting. Okay.